Nicole Whitney, News for the Soul, life-changing talk radio from the uplifting to the unexplained. Yeah, it's a great honor to have you on the show tonight. Welcome, Deepak Chopra.
Thank you.
Yes, this is Uri.
Hi, Uri. It's Nicole Whitney calling News for the Soul. Welcome to News for the Soul, Robert Allen.
Thank you, Nicole. It's great to be here with you tonight.
Why are you?
You're listening to the News for the Soul Radio Network. Call in to live News for the Soul shows daily for intuitive coaching, readings, numerology, leading edge health information, and much, much more with featured hosts from around the world. Go to newsforthesoul.com to join the next live show now. That's newsforthesoul.com.
Hear all of our previously aired broadcasts of News for the Soul online at newsforthesoul.com. Now let's get back to the show.
Next on the News for the Soul Radio Network, it's the Whole Health Initiative with Dr. Holly. With more degrees than a thermometer, Dr. Holly's PhDs include psychology, nutrition, natural medicine, advanced Ayurvedics, and more. Dr. Holly is a scientist, the author of 17 books, and a professional international speaker. She also sees and works with energy, and she's here now to help you achieve complete optimal health. Welcome, Dr. Holly, to News for the Soul.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to Wednesday. It's kind of rainy in our area, but boy, do we need that rain. We've had such glorious hot sunshine. Get everything growing with the sunshine. Now it needs to be watered well, growing with the water. Also, wouldn't it be neat if we could just have sunshine during the day and rain at nighttime? That would be so awesome. But then I think, you know, I love the rain too. The rain's really good, not just only for watering our plants and our gardens, but also it clears out the positive ions and balances the negative ions for us. So rain is so awesome. And everything looks so wonderful when it's just freshly rained. Love taking pictures just after rain. So we won't complain about the rain. We'll just say thank you, thank you, thank you. And we'll continue on. Last week, I ended by telling you I was going to go over 25 foods that you can regrow from your grocery list instead of throwing things out like we are so often taught to do. We should be much more economical and effective and use those pieces to actually regrow or create a garden for ourselves. So I'm going to go through about 25 foods. I'm going to go over why they're good for us as well as how to regrow them instead of throwing them in the garbage can. I'm going in alphabetical order, so I'm not looking at ending categories. So it's not in terms of priority. It's alphabetically organized. I love things that are organized. And hopefully, like I've so often said, you probably get tired of me saying, if you've got a yard, plant your vegetables, your fruit trees, your berries. If you've got just a balcony, you're in a townhouse or a condo, then turn your balcony into a garden. If you don't have a balcony or a deck to work with, then use your windowsills and at least grow your herbs. Our food, we know, we've gone over this so many times, I'm sure you've heard it from 101 different places, our food is so nutrient deficient today, and it's toxic. There's so many chemicals, your herbicides, pesticides, insecticides, your POPs, etc., that we're not getting the nutrient that our bodies require. Consequently, more and more people have more and more diseases, disorders, dysfunctions as they grow older because the body can only compensate for so long, and then it starts to break down. And then we go on these synthetic pharmaceuticals that deplete the body of nutrient, that cause mitochondrial dysfunction, cause cancer, cause hormonal dysregulation. Oh my goodness, and we just keep adding to the problem. So rather than doing that, whether you're in a preventative state or a reactionary state to your health, let's grow our own food. Know the food that you're growing is organic. It's got good, healthy nutrient in the soil. It's got good water that you're putting in things like Himalayan salt for all the minerals. You might be using hemp oil for, Himalayan salt for all, your minerals. hemp oil for all your amino acids. You can dilute it in a variety of ways so that the soils can absorb it, the roots can absorb it effectively. I'll just give you actually one side example here today. One of my nectarine trees got what's called peach fungus on it. Now, peach fungus is the most common problem if you wanted a home orchard. If you go on to the regular sites, the commercial sites, they have pesticides, insecticides, herbicides that you can spray it with. You can't use it that year because now it's toxic. It'll affect the fruit production that the tree provides for you, etc. If you go on to organic sites, you can make up various different batches. I have, I think, four different batches, I guess, now, of different sprays I use for different things. So you get powdery mildew, it's called, on tomato plants, especially if you've got them from a hothouse. You spray, it's a combination of baking soda and water and a couple of drops of dish liquid. You spray it on there a couple times a day for a couple of days, and voila, you've eliminated the powdery mildew. I started out with my nectarine tree that has the peach fungus. Obviously, it was identified on peach tree first. I have a combination of garlic. I took some cloves of garlic, put in a little bit of water, put it in the blender, left it overnight. Then you put in a little bit of cayenne pepper, or you can put in a hot sauce in the morning, blend it with a liter of water, and spray it on the tree. And I will have to do that now a couple of times, probably three or four times, especially with the rain. You have to do it, obviously, more often because you don't want the rain to just wash it off. And then not only have you provided nutrient for the plant, you've eliminated a broad spectrum of pests, pathogenic pests on the plant, going to get a good production of fruit because you went natural, you went organic, you went the way the trees are taught you are supposed to be. So again, you can use that for a wide variety of things, whether you're looking at aphids or white flies or wireworms or all the different things that you may or may not get in your area. There are so many different types of natural, organic ways to control for problems that you might have in the garden. Some years you don't have any. Some years you got a few. You know, it's going to oscillate, and you know, life is as it is. So keep that in mind while we're going through the following. Like I said, I'll give you, teach you how to quickly plant them, which is all I think I've done on the protocol that Nicole published for you. But I will, in addition to that, today we'll go over what kind of nutrients are in those different plants, herbs, etc., and what they're good for. So we've got a full session to do today. I've got four or five questions hopefully we'll get to at the end. Let's get going. Okay, celery. Now, celery is incredibly easy to regrow. All you have to do is when you buy it as fresh as you can, and always remember, side link to all of this, is when you buy organic food, you have a much higher probability of it regrowing than when you buy the regular food you find in a grocery store. Organic is just way easier. So if on any of these items you're having a problem, think about whether or not you're buying organic. Pay a little bit more for the organic. Not only is it healthier for you, but you have a much higher probability of regrowing with success. So what's in a celery? You take off the, a half an inch to an inch, cut it, and then place it in some warm water. Keep the bowl in the sunlight. You can put it right on your windowsill. Keep it in the hot sunlight. If you've got a deck, you can put it out in the sunlight on the deck. And leave it for about 7 to 10 days, and usually you will see new leaves grow along the base. At that point, you can put it in the soil. You can put it in a pot. It doesn't have to be in the ground. You can put it in a pot on your deck, and it will grow full length. Now, as it's growing, cut off the leaves that come out from the ground. Use those in your salad. They're awesome in the salad. They're very nutrient for you. And it will actually enhance the root to grow even stronger so that you will get more and more of the celery. Now, what does celery contain? It's called epigenin. It's an anti-inflammatory, antimicrobial. There's not a lot of it, which is why I don't really go for this celery drink that's been going around. I don't have a lot of celery to get much nutrient. But it's the epigenin that you get does stimulate nerve development. Obviously, celery has good fiber, which helps regulate your bowels. It has both the digestible and non-digestible fiber in it, so it helps to regulate the blood glucose uptake as well as your bowels. The non-digestible fiber is better for your bowel transit, if you want to call it properly, your transit, whereas the soluble fiber is much more effective in helping to regulate your blood sugar levels as well as your cholesterol levels. And it also has lutein, which is an anti-cancer compound, so let's not forget that. Now, I put lettuce, bok choy, and cabbage together in one group because they're all the same. They are easy to grow. So again, when you have dead leaves or leaves that are going brown or they're just a little tinge, if they're really bad, well, then we add them to the compost. But if they've just gone a little bit brown around the edge, they're starting to wilt a bit, you can put them in a container, put about an eighth, just a minute amount of water in the bottom, but then keep them sprayed over the next few days. Keep them in the sunlight, and you will see roots starting to appear. They're like strands of hair, typically 3 to 4 days, but may take up to a week. And then as soon as you've got quite a few roots going on a given leaf, then you can plant it in the soil. Bok choy is, again, like celery. You can cut off the bottom, put it in warm water, and see the bottom of it start to develop as well. It'll get soft. As soon as it gets soft, then plant it in some soil, and then you might have some bok choy. What does it have? Well, let's see. We'll start with lettuce. Lettuce has vitamin A, C, and K, calcium, and potassium. So your K works with the vitamin C to prevent bone fractures. Of course, it's an antioxidant. It also has nitrate in it, which the body uses for nitric oxide. If you breathe in nitric oxide is used by people that get rid of mold, but it's very, very toxic. In fact, if they have to spray a bathroom or wherever with the nitric oxide, usually you'll have to leave the house because it is very, very toxic and can very much harm you. On the other hand, in minute levels, it's very, very important to the body. It's used in the brain. It's used to help expand your arteries. So for men, it's very, very important to get their heart on. And for the rest of us, it's just very important to have the arteries be able to expand and contract. And it's also important to your immune system. Now, there's 5 different categories of lettuce. You can get your leaf lettuce, romaine, crisp head, which usually most people would think of as the iceberg lettuce, your butterhead, and your stem or asparagus lettuce. I encourage people to use all types, even within a category. For instance, romaine has a red lettuce, a red romaine. That is just beautiful. Your red lettuces, red leaf lettuces are beautiful. They have a lot more vitamin K in them. So make sure that you get a wide variety. They grow quickly in just about any kind of soil. If you only get a little bit of sunlight on your garden or patio, that's okay. They don't need a lot. They do need some, but they don't need a lot. You can even grow them in your kitchen windowsill or any windowsill. I only grow things in my kitchen windowsill. Cabbage, well, we've talked about cabbage so often. It's so excellent with the pre- and probiotics. I thought, well, it's really good for a variety of things, but let's just leave it there. We want it for those pre- and probiotics. Your bok choy has huge antioxidants in them. Contains selenium and folate, or B9. Also contains B6 and vitamin C and K and A, calcium, quercetin. Quercetin you probably recognize from apples. We often talk about the quercetin in apples. Again, it's a fiber. It's really good for detox and diabetes. and can protect you against cancer. All right, lemongrass is interesting. It's like cilantro. People either really like it or they really don't. I love both. But lemongrass grows just like regular grass. You place the root, the end that you normally throw out, in a glass, just a little bit of water. You don't need a lot, just very, very little. Leave it in the sunlight in about a week. Again, you'll see the roots start to happen. Get quite a few roots first, and then you can put it in your garden. And you can put it in its own pot, but it's also really nice in a herb garden. If you have, I always make my herb gardens round. I just thought of that. All my regular pots, say for lettuces and what have you, are long and rectangular, but my herb gardens are always round. Never thought of that. Anyway, do what you like, obviously. What does it use for? Lemongrass can be used for your digestive tract if you get spasms, for a stomach ache, for high blood pressure. It can be used for convulsions, for fever, for common cold. You can drink it as a tea. In fact, it's really nice. I like it with lemon, lemongrass and lemon or lime in cold water. You may like that. I love things that are tart. And so I put lemon in a lot of things. Actually, it's really funny in Mexico with all the different drinks. Of course, I drink them all virgin because I don't drink alcohol. But I always get them to put a ton of lemon in everything. And they look at me, really? Or lime? I actually use more lime than lemon. I'm like, yep, yeah, I want more lime. In fact, you can send me a glass of lime on the side because I'll pour tons of lime in it. And we'll get to that. Lemons and limes are very, very good for you. Okay, now the next one category I've got here is mushrooms. There's over 10,000 species of mushrooms. There's over 12 types of red reishi, which people are often familiar with when you're dealing with real health. And it's a little bit more difficult. They don't come quite as easy as other vegetables. But you know, even taking a white cap mushroom, the most common kind you find in a grocery store, most people throw out the stem. And it's the stem that you need if you want to regrow. And it doesn't matter what kind of a mushroom, whether it's a shiitake or a maitake or a turkey tail or different ones. We'll go over a few of them. But it's the stem that you want to be able to regrow them. Okay? And you have to be careful with mushrooms because they like a lot of humidity and they like a very rich soil typically. And you have to be very good. I used to own a trucking company years ago, and one of our divisions was reefer trucks, which are the refrigerated trucks. And we had to keep them very, very tightly controlled. They could only go within a 2-3 degree range. Otherwise, the mushrooms that we were transporting from Canada down to, we went through Washington and Oregon and Idaho. We went through a number of states. But they have to be very, very tightly controlled because mushrooms like a constant. So remember that. Can grow them, but you have to be careful with them. Okay, so what are the different types that have, in particular, we look at beta glycans or immune-regulating compounds in the mushrooms. Shiitake has what's called lecithin. Shisolium or the split gill has a schizophyllin compound. Mataki, which is Grifola frondosa, it has what's called a defraction. Now, the turkey tail, I love the turkey tail. It is so pretty. The real name is Coriolis versicola, and it has both a PSP and a PSK. So the PSP stands for a polysaccharide peptide. The PSK is also a polysaccharide, but it has crestus, which is a protein that is bound to the polysaccharide. So what's a polysaccharide? Let's go back to that. Poly means many components, many organic components to it. And saccharide, of course, means sugar. So it's a polysugar with a protein or a polysugar with a peptide. Both are incredibly good at helping to regulate the immune system. The Ganoderma lystium is the reishi. Most of you have heard of the red reishi that also has a polysaccharide, except this one's called a GLPS. Now, another one that's really big for the beta-glycan, which is what I started out by talking to you about, was the cordyceps, which actually has a similar profile to ginseng, beta-glycan. Okay, three different mushrooms have been shown to be very effective in fighting cancer. Of course, if it's regulating your immune system, supporting your immune system, it's going to help your immune system fight cancer. That just makes sense, doesn't it? Okay, peppers. Now, you can grow both hot peppers and bell peppers. I think I just put in, I did a number of hot peppers from the seeds, but you can actually grow them from all your different peppers. And again, I have by far the best success if I buy organic. The other ones, I try to have tried regular peppers that you get from the grocery store in a variety of different mediums, and I can just never get them to work. Okay, so what is it about this that doesn't work? But I always have success with the other ones. So you just take those seeds out instead of throwing them in the garbage. You put them in directly in soil. You don't even have to put them in water or anything. You put them directly in soil. And I do keep mine in a warm place before I plant them in the garden. Actually, a really great, simple way, take your eggshells. When you break an eggshell, if you're having, say, a soft-boiled egg or a fried egg, what have you, and that eggshell, try and cut it, depending on the size. If you've got a small one, I'll just make sure the tip is taken off so I have a good hunk of the eggshell. If it's a large eggshell, I'll just split it in half and use both halves. You put a little bit of good organic soil in those eggshells. Plant your seeds right into the eggshell. When it starts to sprout, when you start seeing the growth happen, then you can put the whole eggshell right into the ground. Real easy. Holy cow. And again, these can grow in your windowsill. Like with most vegetables, again, buy them organic. What do you find in them? Vitamin A, C, K, antioxidants, which of course help prevent cancer and cell damage, are great for the immune system and inflammation. Now, if you're looking for vitamin C, red peppers are phenomenal for vitamin C. Also, if you're going to grow peppers, you want to have, like, you know, those rounds that they use for tomatoes to keep give them the support. You either want to have those, or you want to have some strong sticks to support them, because they do need that. They grow quite high, at least 2 feet. At least all mine do. Maybe it's just a type I have, but they do need that extra support. Okay, potatoes. Everybody eats potatoes. As many people peel their potatoes. Now, I don't peel potatoes for myself. I do for my dad. He hates to see the peel on the potato. I just scrub them. You can always tell which ones are his and which ones are mine, because the peels hold the most nutrient, as with many foods. We'll get to that as we move along. Now, what I also do is I have a bin that has potatoes and onions and sweet potatoes, yams, whatever. It's built right into my cupboards, and they're in baskets. And I always keep a few. I want them to sprout. When they start getting all those little white sprouts on them, you just take those out. Again, I put them just into an eggshell, and I could have all kinds of those by the time spring comes along. They're all ready to go into the garden. They're fantastic. They grow really well. Any one sprout will create all kinds of other potatoes. Also, know if you're putting them in a garden, or you can even use a bag. You can get what's called potato bags. They have holes in the bottom so that if there's too much water, it drains out. And you could use that on a deck, put it into a base so that if there's water that goes into the base and not directly onto your decking material. But when you start seeing potatoes develop, the greenery coming out of the soil, you want to do what's called hilling. And hilling just means you keep moving more and more soil up to the leaves. And you can do that actually with tomato plants. We'll get to tomato plants as well. But for an entirely different reason, you want to what's called hill them, keep putting more and more soil, and they will create more and more and more potatoes for you. Okay? So you could have 36 potatoes that could create a whole winter full of potatoes for you, depending on your soil quality and what have you. Okay, there's over 200 different types of known identified potatoes. We come in 7 categories. You have your russets, your red, white, yellow, the bluey purple ones, the fingering, and the petite. Now, typically what they all have in common is they do have vitamin C. They have a variety of minerals, iron, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, and zinc. And, of course, whenever I say what minerals they have, and that's really dependent on how good quality the soil is. So, again, like I said earlier, you want to put Himalayan salt into your soil. And what I do with that is I take a jug of water. All my water containers I leave out overnight so the chloride can evaporate. And then I also put in Himalayan salt so that the water will break it down into its components. It makes it easier for the soil to absorb it, for the plants to absorb it, etc. Okay, iron, calcium, magnesium, phosphorus, and zinc. Phosphorus and zinc contribute to good bone health. Potassium, magnesium, and calcium help to decrease blood pressure. There's antioxidants for inflammation, and fiber, of course, we can use for constipation and just good, healthy transit. Pumpkins. Now, pumpkins, I was surprised that I actually had to go look pumpkins up. I don't eat pumpkin pie. I'm not a great one for that. And the reason I normally use pumpkin for is for men with prostate issues, because if you put together pumpkin seeds, sunflower seeds, and sesame seeds, it's a really good combination. Get them dry, and then you toast them. Toast them with either avocado oil or with coconut oil, and put in Himalayan salt. And now you have a really good snack that a guy can feed on throughout the day that keeps him nice and healthy, keeps the prostate healthy, and will actually help the prostate to recover if it is swollen. Now, one of the problems typically with prostate is you've got too much estrogen in your diet. And, of course, in today's North American diet, we have an awful lot of pseudoestrogens. They give estrogens of different types to animals to increase their, because estrogen is a growth hormone, to increase their growth. But it's also used in a variety of different foods for a variety of different reasons. And so our masculine aspect of our species is getting way too much estrogen and not enough testosterone. If your glutathione levels are low in the liver, then the glutathione doesn't regulate and eliminate the excess estrogen. It gets pumped down to the prostate. Now you got prostate enlargement. You don't need to take prostate drugs. Actually, 80% of the drugs used for prostate enlargement are known to cause cancer, so you really don't want to do that. Get them on a combination of pumpkin seeds, sesame seeds, and sunflower seeds. Of course, the oils are incredibly healthy, and the Himalayan salt gives you all your minerals, so all together you're doing something really well. So when it came to pumpkins, the short of it is, I had to go look it up. I don't know this one. There's 5 different common species of pumpkins. The squash and Malabar gourd, the buttercup and winter squashes. I would have put that in the pumpkin category. I would have put it just as a squash category. A Kushaw squash, I don't even know what that is. I had to go look at it. And I didn't know what the Shakertown or the Long Island cheese pumpkins are, but that's a category. And then they have the Janko lanterns and the ornamental gourds, which that group I know well. The buttercup winter squashes, the jack-o'-lantern ornamentals. I would have said that's all there was. Anyway, obviously there's a whole lot more. We've talked about both the seed and the oil. The oil can be used directly for bladder irritations, kidney infections, intestinal worms. We've already talked about the prostate issue. In addition, they contain vitamin A and C, B2 and E, A, B2, C, and E, yeah. And minerals, again, depending on the soil, but good, healthy soil, they'll have iron, potassium, copper, manganese. They've got antioxidants, fiber, and protein, so very, very good. And how do you start? how do you plant them? Well, you save the seeds, which actually a lot of people will toast. I did it one year. Actually, Tom did it, put the oil over them and put the Himalayan salt and baked them. And yeah, we never ate them. But some people love them. So Anyways, you can spread the seeds out in a sunny area. Just simply cover them with soil. But you can also plant an entire pumpkin. I've done this several times. Once you've done your jack-o'-lantern on Halloween Eve, don't get rid of the pumpkin. Don't throw it out. If you have a garden, plant the whole pumpkin. It is very nutritional for the soil. It provides an awful lot, including new pumpkins for you next year. All right, let's move on to sweet potatoes. Actually, sweet potatoes are very much like regular potatoes, but in the sense that they're easy. With the regular potatoes, you have to wait for those little white sprouty things to come out, whereas a sweet potato, you cut it in half, and you suspend it container of shallow water. I've only ever done this once. I got to start doing that again, because I love sweet potatoes. And we have lots of room for them this year. Roots will begin to appear in just a few days, and the sprouts you can see on the top of the potato. Once the sprouts have reached about 4 inches or so in length, you twist them off and place them in a container of water. The roots will then reach about an inch, and you plant them in the soil. So cut them in half, suspend them over water, wait for them to sprout, put the sprouts in water, and then when the roots come out of those, that's when you plant them. So it's four stages to that. What I, again, was surprised at, I know of two species of sweet potatoes. I looked it up. There's over 400 different types. Wow. Okay, so what does sweet potatoes have? They have vitamin A. They've got beta carotene and magnesium. Choline, now, it's important. We've often talked about choline in terms of eggs because eggs, especially egg yolks, have a high concentration of choline. Your body will use choline when it doesn't get enough B9. It can convert it so it can use it, which is an anti-inflammatory. And along with the polyphenol anthocyanin, is a flavonoid that you find in sweet potatoes. But going back to choline, choline is also used to make acetylcholine for the brain. One of the neurotransmitters. So that's really important. Turnips. My grandfather loved turnips. Plant root turnips. Root plants like turnips. I'll get that right. Grow really well from clippings from the leftover scraps that you would normally throw into the garbage. Just take the end of it. Take about a quarter of an inch off. Place in a container of water. You'll see new green tops sprouting in a few days. You allow them to grow for, actually I usually allow them for an inch or two, and then I put them right into the ground. Actually, that's not true. That's what I've written. But I normally put them in a shallow container. It's about 4 inches deep, full of soil. It's plastic, so I can see the roots starting. When the roots get really good, then I put it out into the rest of the garden. Now, as much as I've said that about turnips, I've also mentioned it works with beets and parsnips. I actually put turnips twice there. It also works with beets and parsnips as well. And if you want a recipe that's really good, mix parsnips and carrots and turnips together with a little bit of cinnamon and nutmeg. Makes a beautiful dish for the fall. Okay, so there's over 30 different varieties of turnips, but what's important about turnips is people usually put them with your root vegetables like your beets and your potatoes and parsnips and what have you, when in fact turnips belong to the broccoli and Brussels sprout family. Yeah, I had to be taught that. I just made the assumption they belong with the rest, but they don't. There's obviously lots of fiber. This type of fiber can actually help flare-ups with diverticulitis. Diverticulitis is when you get little sacs, if you want, that occur alongside the colon, the small and large intestine, and they can be very, very painful, especially if you get seeds or something in them. Now, with the research, I think it's still the case today, fiber can be a benefit to diverticulitis, but it can also be a detriment. There's a lot of controversial research on it. But most of the research, and certainly my experience, is that it is a benefit. So you might want to try it. Of course, the fiber also helps with blood pressure.
with the transit, and the potassium and the nitrates also can help for the same reason we talked before about helping to lower blood pressure. The sulforaphane, which is more commonly researched, I think, in broccoli, but it is known to prevent the progression of cancer cells. Alrighty, holy cow, it's already 12:35. Maybe we won't get to the questions today. Let's look at some of your common fruits. Apples. You know that there's over 7,500 varieties of apples worldwide, 2,500 varieties in North America alone. I couldn't believe that. Apple trees are very easy to grow. If you take a new branch, cut it nicely off in the early spring, put it into some hormone powder and into some water, then and typically type 2 if you're looking at the hormone powder to help, and put some cuts into the end of the branch, stick it into some water so it's easy to absorb the water, and voila, you've got yourself a new apple tree growing. But you can also grow it from the seeds, okay? And you can you can plant several seeds from a single apple and end up with different types of apple trees. That I just find fascinating. Apparently, that is to do more with the soil, the environment that is around it. Wow, really? Holy cow, that's cool. Anyway, you allow the seeds to dry them up, to dry out, and then you plant them. And as with many fruit trees, you do need at least two to actually provide the pollen to go back and forth. All right, so what are the medicinals? Well, we all know that eating an apple a day keeps the doctor away. We've talked many times, the harder and more tart the apple is, the more nutrient dense it is, that the skin on the apple is has basically the same nutrient profile, except that the pulp of the apple has much, significantly less than what the skin does. So you want to make sure you get the skin in there. What are the nutrients? Well, let's see. You got vitamin, you got B1, B2, B6. You have C, E, and K. You've got minerals, potassium, manganese, copper. There's over 3,000 different the type of polyphenols we're looking at is flavonoids. There's over 3,000 different flavonoids. But you have a huge variety just in apples. Your procyanidins, your catechins, your epicatechins, etc. They're all great antioxidants. They help lower the blood pressure. Quercetins, of course, apple, I think, again, the most studied is the quercetin and the vitamin C. You've got the fiber that helps regulate your blood sugar levels and helps the liver regulate cholesterol, and you've got your non-soluble fibers that help regulate your bowel transit. So apples are just really, really good. We know that. You didn't need to be told that. Avocados. Now, avocados can be a challenge. Wash the seed and use a toothpick to suspend over a bowl. The water should come up just to cover the bottom of that nice big seed. It's more of a nut than a seed, but you keep the container in a warm place, but not in direct sunlight. Check it daily and add water as needed. It might take up to 6 weeks for the stem and roots to appear, and once the stem reaches about 6 inches, you'll have to cut it back down to about 3. When the leaves start to appear, you can plant it and leave about half of it above ground. Now, it is interesting. You need to have at least 2, and again, they need to have the pollination. There's 3 different types, Mexican, Guatemalan, and West Indian, and I thought, that's interesting. I didn't know that. I guess I was by the Mexican. I don't know. Love avocado with shrimp. Avocado and shrimp or balsamic vinegar. Oh, so good. Incredible source, high concentration of glutathione, but we know that glutathione will probably break down in the hydrochloric acid of your stomach, but still you got all the components of glutathione there. Great source of potassium and vitamin D, also vitamin C, K, and B1, B2, B3, B5, B6, B9. So let's go over some of the things that those D vitamins are needed for. B1, 2, and 3. Now, when your mitochondria, those fuel producers in each cell,
produce fuel. The whole process requires about 180 steps of magnesium, and about two-thirds of those steps require vitamins B1, 2, and 3, so incredibly important to producing fuel. The P6, pyroxidine, is important for the central nervous system. It's used to produce neurotransmitters like serotonin and norepinephrine, as well as the myelination along the stem of the neuron. That's the insulation. That's when you get that breaks down. That's when you've got MS. So we definitely don't want that. The B9 is used again for the central nervous system. It's important to both your mental and emotional health, to producing DNA as well as RNA. It helps regulate homocysteine, which we know that gets too high, that can cause heart disease. So then we have vitamin E, most widely known for its antioxidant capacity. We have minerals like magnesium, manganese, potassium, copper, zinc, phosphorus. We have the incredible balance of omega-3, 6, and 9. So your omega-3s are your anti-inflammatories, your omega-6 are your inflammatories. And avocados are great because the 3-6-9 ratio is basically the same as in our bodies. So yeah, get those avocados in, and the good healthy fats help to break down the unhealthy fats. Cherries, over 1,200 varieties. I have 5 varieties in my yard, but there is over 1,200 varieties of cherries. And you can grow cherry trees from the pit of a cherry. Different, this one, you need to keep it in cold storage so that it will germinate. Actually, just put it in a little bit of soil, put the seeds in a little bit of soil, and put them in the fridge. And then once, it takes quite a while, it takes about 12 weeks, and then you can transplant it outdoors, and you will get some new cherry trees over time. What do cherry trees have? They have beta carotene, they've got vitamin B and C and K. I can put which one, B, I think it's B9 and B6. I'm going off the top of my head again. Potassium, of course, we know that's important for muscle contraction, nerve function, regulates blood to remove excess sodium. Potassium is very good for that. Copper, manganese, fibers, high in polyphenols like the anthocyanins, your flavanols, and your catechins, all again are excellent antioxidants. They're all great for the heart. They prevent heart disease. The anthocyanins, along with the quercetin, again, we've got quercetin, work together to help regulate uric acid levels. If your uric acid gets too high, you get gout. You don't want that. Very, very painful. Again, the more tart the cherry is, the better it is for your immune system. It also, cherries are very good for helping your muscles recover after working out. So, it's good for the immune system, cardio system, inflammation because of the free radical antioxidants. Antioxidants eliminate the free radicals, and it prevents gout attacks. Awesome food. Lemons. Holy cow, did you know there's 36 types of lemons? I thought that was really cool. Lemon trees can be grown from the seeds, and if you live in an area that gets really cold in the winter, you can simply grow dwarf trees inside. The Meyer lemons tend to have these smaller plants, and those are the ones I have. Now, you can get a lemon, if you can buy Meyer lemons, say, from your nursery, you can get one that produces and produces and produces, and you can get another one that doesn't produce anything at all. So, and I don't know why. But the nice thing to know is you can grow it from your seeds. So, clean the lemon seeds, dry them, plant them in a rich soil. Again, I use the eggshell. And once they start sprouting, once they start moving up, then I can plant them in the garden. But you won't get lemons that year. In fact, you may not even get lemons the next year. If you're lucky, you will. But it usually takes a good year or two to get those roots well established so that you can start producing lemons. Great source of vitamin C. Now, what lemons have is what's called hesperidin and diosmin. And both of those, again, are bioflavonoids, so that's a type of polyphenol. They help regulate your cholesterol. They'll increase what's called the integrity of arteries and veins.
So if you don't have good integrity in the membrane of your arteries and veins, they will leak, especially if you have blood pressure problems or blood clotting problems. The clots can push through. If your blood is too thin, the blood will leak through. So you want good, strong integrity in those veins. And lemons are very, very good for that. They have a pectin fiber, which is very good for the gut. They have citric acid, which prevents some types of kidney stones. Now, there's 5 different types of kidney stones, so you have to remember, you know, we're just talking some types. They also have a good level of iron. So, like the iron that you get from meat and chicken and poultry and spinach and kale, it produces or prevents you from getting anemia, so that's really good. It has a soluble type of fiber, so the soluble, like we've said, regulates the sugar uptake, but you need to eat the pulp, the juice. So I've often told you that, you know, take an organic lemon, cut off about a quarter of an inch of the ends, because that's where the compounds are that can create a kidney stone. Chop up the rest into 4 or 8 pieces, put it in a blender with a liter of water, and voila, now you have good lemon juice. Okay, let's move on. Peaches and nectarines and plums. Now, actually, I don't know how many types of nectarines. I've got the red gold nectarines. I've got the Italian plums and the early Italian plums. And I know with peaches themselves, there's over 300 varieties. I have no idea how many varieties of plums and nectarines there are. I can't remember ever looking that up. But I know there's over 300 varieties of peaches. And again, it's like the lemon tree. It will take you a couple of years to get those roots well established and the tree strong enough that it can actually provide you with fruit, but definitely worth it. Dry the seeds out well to prepare them for planting and then plant in a nutrient-rich soil. Again, use now, you know how big the peach seed is? It's quite large. So you have to use quite a large eggshell if you're going to work it with the eggshell. But again, a great way of starting the seed to grow. Lots of nutrients, again, it's great. Both soluble and non-soluble fiber for digestion. It's got your vitamin C for your immune system. And collagen, all your connective tissue, your bones, your muscles, tendons, your hair, your nails, even the membrane around your blood vessels, that's all connective tissue. So it's really, really good for that. Vitamin A and your beta carotenes, of course, are great for your skin and your eyes. Lutein and zeaxanthin is great for the retinas in your eyes and to protect the macula in your eyes. And, of course, it's loaded with antioxidants, which are particularly good for the brain. Pineapple. Now, this one I've never tried. But apparently you can grow a pineapple tree even if you don't live in the tropics. You just cut off the top, insert a few toothpicks, and hold it, again, above a container filled with water. Keep it in the sunlight, and it is warm if it's warm outside. Sit on the porch or deck during the day and bring it in at night. Remember to change the water every day or so and keep the container filled so that it just reaches the base. You will notice roots in about a week or so. Once they are formed, you can transplant it into potting soil. And if you live in a cooler area, you grow the pineapple tree inside. I have never done that. I had to look it up. But I'm going to try it this year. It's all done. I had heard you could do that. So I never bothered trying because I just assumed, it's always bad to make assumptions. I just assumed it had to be done in the tropics. And yet I have grown lemon trees and orange trees at home inside. I live in Vancouver, B.C., so we do have a very cold climate, not as cold as back east, but certainly a colder than a tropical climate in the wintertime. So I am going to go buy a pineapple and see if I can grow a pineapple tree. I had to look it up. There's 37 different varieties. There's 4 main groups, the red Spanish queen and maybe we heard of that, the smooth cayenne. So I learned something again there. Fiber. Well, we know pineapple has lots of fiber, but it also has B1, 2, and 3. We went over how that's really, really good for your energy. It has B5 and B6 and B9 and vitamin C. Manganese, copper, potassium, magnesium, iron, and a load of antioxidants, and all the bromelain well, it doesn't have all, but it has most of the bromelain enzymes that are good for digestion. I think that's what's been most studied for, is those bromelain enzymes. So, you know, right off the top, the 1, 2, 3 is good for your energy. The B9 is really good for your central nervous system, DNA, your immune system. You've got your minerals for your muscles and your cardio. It's got the antioxidants, so it's really good for inflammation, and it prevents iron deficiency, good for digestion. Tomatoes. Now, tomatoes, I knew there was a lot of varieties. Over 3,000 heirloom varieties, but over 15,000 varieties of tomatoes worldwide. Wow. I have 8 varieties, I think. I think there's 8. Although I'm adding to it, I'm adding a, it's almost a black. It's a real dark, purpley black tomato. I've never had that before, but a girlfriend of mine, oh, she has the most fantastic organic gardens, and she's been doing all her, keeping all her seeds for like 30, 40 years. Her seeds are so good. And so every year I try to incorporate some of her wonderful growth into my gardens. We know tomatoes have lycopenes. We know that that's good for the eyes, for heart disease. It prevents cancer. The vitamin C, of course, we've gone over that so many times. Vitamin C, highest concentration of vitamin C is in your eyes. Second highest concentration is in your adrenals, about many times. It's so good for the muscles, your folate or your B9, but for your central nervous system, your production of DNA and RNA, brain function. B9 and B12 work really well together to make your red blood cells, help the iron to function in the red blood cells, and of course reduce your levels of homocysteine. We've talked about how high levels of homocysteine is associated with heart disease, and also how they have vitamin K for the blood. Now, you can say there's 15,000 different varieties. Obviously, each variety is going to have a naturally different profile of nutrient, and again, the soil is grown in will affect the nutrient profile. So I've just given you the real basics on that. We're going to look at some herbs and spices, but I'm not going to give any of the additional stuff for herbs and spices, because we've gone over quite a bit of this over the last little while with the whole COVID thing, which is going to be incredibly boring. Sorry to say that. So, but let's just look at how you can grow it. Basil is really easy to grow. Basil is like a weed. Have a stem about 4 inches high, put it in a glass of water, and let it sit in the sunlight. Not the direct sunlight. Basil does better if it's indirect sunlight. But the roots grow within a few days. When they're about a couple inches long, just plant it in soil. It does awesomely well. Cilantro is a lot more tricky. Cilantro is, in my experience, very finicky to grow, but I always grow it. Take some scraps, place them in the stem in a glass of water, and leave in a bright area. Windowsills tend to be good. Eastern-facing windowsills tend to be best. When the roots are a couple inches long, you can transplant it into a pot, and it will start to develop. I do that about every 3 weeks. I use a lot of cilantro. Cilantro is very, very good for detoxing heavy metals and what have you. It works really well with glutathione. So I create my cilantro. I get it started every couple of weeks, typically 3 to 4 weeks. Fennel, intact. You need about an inch at the base of the fennel to get it to regrow. Again, place it in a container and a cup of water in direct sunlight now as opposed to indirect. The windowsill, especially south-facing windowsill, is great for the fennel to grow. When the roots grow strong and you need new green shoots coming up, you'll see new green shoots coming up from the base. You can transplant those new, the fennel into the soil at that point. Ginger. Now, ginger is challenging to get going. Once it gets going, it's done well. But it's to get it going. I'm always impatient with ginger. Like, what is going on here? How come you haven't come up yet? You need a new plant, a spare piece of ginger. So just when you buy your ginger root in the grocery store, take a slice off. Bud will face up, and you'll notice new shoots in about a week. Once it happens, you can pull it up and use it again. Yeah. Remember to save a piece of the root and replant it and save it for next time. And so you just keep replanting and replanting and replanting. And in that sense, once it got going, it just keeps going. It's awesome. It's getting it going that I found to be a challenge. Garlic is phenomenal. You only need one clove of garlic off of a whole bulb of garlic. It's best if you do it in the fall. It does like lots of sunlight. But it tends to grow better when you plant it in the fall. And I'm not sure why. I don't think I've ever looked at that. I just accepted it and kept going. Onions are phenomenal. They just take over. And notice with garlic and onions, they're very, if you do companion growing, if you actually have gardens and you're doing companion growing, garlic and onions are great to plant everywhere, basically, because they keep animals away, typically. But they also keep a lot of pathogenic pests away. And they contribute the sulfur to the soil. They just do all kinds of really great stuff. Onions, you have to take a piece of the rooting, take about a quarter of an inch off the bottom. Whether it's a white onion, a red onion, a cooking onion, a green onion, doesn't matter what kind, leeks are the same. I'll just take that base off. I take about a quarter of an inch and just replant it. And golly gee whiz, it just regrows. It's holy cow. So I have them all over the place. Wherever you go, you can find onions and garlic. Holy cow. You know what? I can't believe it. It's 12:56. So, sorry I didn't get to any of the questions. The last part I have is about bean sprouts, in case you're not reading the article. And after bean sprouts, I went into hazelnuts and I went into chestnuts. So you're going to have to go look at themselves if you want to learn how to grow them. Again, really, really easy. Now, I'm sure there's a lot more foods. So this is the article that I hand out to people. So I give it everywhere. You know me. If you've listened to my program for any length of time, I'm always promoting grow your own food. It's so easy. Use the scraps that you're going to otherwise throw away. Make it work for you. Reduces not only your grocery bill, which there's a lot of economic issues currently, so all the more reason, but in addition to that, it gives you good, strong nutrients for your diet, for your body's health and well-being, psychologically, physically, energetically. You want that really good health. As a side note to that, we want to remember, don't get caught up in the paranoia and the fear and the worry about all this COVID. Whether you believe there's a COVID or not, don't get involved with it. Worrying and paranoia depletes your body's energy, depletes your nutrients, depletes your adrenal glands, depletes the body on so many different levels. Be positive, be uplifting. You know, give everybody a hug that you can, despite the regulations. You want to think positive, you want to be positive, you want to eat positive, of course, but be positive. Contribute to the positivity around the world. It helps on so many different levels. And it even helps working in the garden. Get your feet dirty, get your hands dirty, get in the garden. Whatever kind, however big or small your garden may be, make life beautiful, beautiful. We don't have to get caught up in this nonsense. Okay? So I'm Dr. Holly, Choices Unlimited for Health and Wellness. My website is choicesunlimited.ca. Have a great week. Enjoy it. Live to your best. And we'll talk with you next week. Take good care. Bye-bye now.